turn your mic on.
Yeah.
All right, there it's on. You really need me to?
Yeah.
Okay. Blow hard enough as it is, right? What I always do to prepare for this is I get Brian on the phone, or I go, I'll be in your office in 10 minutes. And then I ask Brian, so what craziness are we getting into this year? And he, in an extremely organized way, he always declines my invitation to support him for mayor of Jacksonville. And then he runs me down on the logic stream behind all of this, and the staff has just put together, again, a super list of recommendations. The one thing that they are having that's interesting, we talked about a little bit, and he can expand on it, is a little bit of sticker shock in so much as the amount of fine money didn't go up, but the cost of construction went up 30-40%. So it's going to be interesting over the next couple of years to see what we can get designed and then what we can actually get executed and see if there's any changes in fine funding mechanisms or how we're going to work with that. But I think the list I see here looks great, and it looks like it's very impactful for Jacksonville. So with that said, it's called order. Let's begin the review. Brian, if you want to take us through.
Sure thing. All right, Brian Burkett, Parks Department. So, we got staff met and discussed our needs and opportunities, but, of course, we always have to look back on what's already in the queue, what projects are already in design that was funded with fine dollars, because those – priority. We want to keep those marching forward, because if you don't, then you risk losing your reimbursement for the design phase if you don't move those projects forward to construction in a timely manner. You've got a couple of handouts in front of you. One is got the recommendations. There's three projects listed there, and we'll go through each one of those. And then it talks about, then it's got a list of alternative projects, and then a third tier of other projects that were considered because it's been brought up, you know, over the years, and it's, you know, an idea worth considering. But there's reasons for each of these. While it's not advisable to move forward at this time, whether it's an eligibility issue or site control issue, or there's another project in close proximity that kind of, you know, makes that other project unnecessary or not recommended. So that's what we'll be going through this sheet today. But as backup, we have these two other handouts. One is the the spreadsheet. That's sorry for the small font on these. It's got the yellow and orange cells. So this shows kind of a flow of all of our existing fine projects and where they are, as well as projections moving forward. So this is what I always kind of keep in mind. So when we get to this stage, projecting out with our recommendations, we kind of see where projects need to, when and where they need to advance. So 2023, those grants that we applied for last spring, there were four grants, if you recall: Oak Harbor construction for the bulkhead, St. John's Marina boardwalk construction, and Citrus Creek transient facilities for a design phase, and downtown dredging design phase. All of those were fully funded by FIND, and we're executing the grant agreements as we speak. So that was great. That was good news we received a few weeks ago. So now we're moving forward with our 2024 proposed list. And of the projects that are already in the works that need to move forward, there's really just the one that's ready to move forward for this coming year, and that's the Mike McHugh boat ramp bulkhead. That's one that gave me some sticker shock. I finally, just a couple weeks ago, got the cost estimate for that project, and it's nearly $3.5 million. The depths of the water there are such that, you know, the type of bulkhead and how it's constructed, you know, just escalates the price quite a bit more. So if you recall, recall just last year, Oak Harbor bulkhead, which is a very similar linear foot, was roughly half that cost, but that was a much shallower area. So the construction methods are different. Materials are a little different too. So that kind of put us in a pinch this year. So you'll see on our recommendations, the first project there is the Mike McHugh bulkhead. The fine request would be $1.6 million. And then when you double that and add 10%, if you recall, we pad it with another 10% for internal costs that aren't always reimbursable. So that would be what the city, the council would initially fund, and then we'd get reimbursed up to that $1.6 million to half the value of the contracted price of the project. Last year we received, it was a total of $2 million worth of projects. Awarded to the award side of the project from FIND. So each year it may, it slowly ticks up every year. Sometimes they'll give me a cap. Sometimes they'll tell me it's about the same as last year. They haven't given me a definitive number, but I would, if last year was $2 million, I would say maybe $2.1 would be kind of a ballpark of a target for this year. So with 1.6 already off the table for, assuming we want to move forward with the bulkhead project at Mike McHugh, that's, 1.6 off there. So, that only leaves, $600,000 left, right? So, but there is other needs out there. So we always try to push the envelope a little bit. We go up to that cap line, and usually we go just north of it to see if we can squeeze another project in. And another thing to point out, it's always good because of this flow to always have at least one new design project if we can get in there. Just keep something in the pipeline so we've got something graduating and so we don't have a bunch of construction projects all due at one time. So the third handout is a packet, and it's got a map on it. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but follow my train of thought. It's a map. The red stars and arrows are the three projects that I'm recommending for this year. So you see the McHugh boat ramp is there. And then the other two projects we'll get to. And then all the green ones are those alternative lists and just showing their general locations. But if you flip to the next page, you'll see the Mike McHugh aerial. And that was the original concept that we applied for, so replacing all the red existing bulkhead towards orange would be there's not bulkhead there. There's just revetment today, but we asked engineers to go ahead and extend the bulkhead line all the way to the north because that northwest corner of the parking lot is already being undermined, and obviously that revetment is not sufficient. There's adjacent development planned to the north. Into their future plans as well. So if you flip to the backside of that page, those are the engineered drawings that are going into, they're now in permitting. So that shows the new bulkhead. So that just gives you a little bit more information about that particular project. So the next project was kind of I don't think we even had this one on the list last year for consideration, but it obviously jumped very high as a priority for us very quickly. This is the Blue Cypress Fishing Pier. And if you flip in your packet to the next page, you can see photos of that, and there's a map showing on the back side of that shows how Blue Cypress Park over in the Arlington area is attached to another park, Arlington Lions Club Park, and there's a long shoreline boardwalk that connects the two, and there's a boat ramp at the north end with a small fishing structure at Arlington Lions Club, and at the south end is Blue Cypress, which has a fishing pier that jets out into the river. And we've known for a few years that it's certainly been aging. That was actually funded by FIND about 20 years ago now. wear and tear. Obviously, we were anticipating having to redeck it and replace the handrails coming up, but that just as a maintenance type issue. But we had some real extreme low tides a couple months back, and we noticed, oh my goodness, these piles are deteriorating a lot faster than we had realized. So there's a picture there of just one of those piles, and you can see, I don't know if you can tell, but it's down to maybe a quarter or less of what the pile diameter used to be. And that image just on top of that shows the red dots are other piles that are in critical shape. So basically, the extent of all those critical piles, we made the management decision, this needs to be shut down for public use immediately, and we blocked it off. We actually removed the first 30 feet of the decking for after it passes the boardwalk area, just to prevent people, because if you put up a sign or a barrier,
they're going over it,
right? So trying to make it extra hard for people to get on there. So it's currently closed to the public. It's unsafe, and we'd like to replace it as soon as we can. So what we've already have in the queue right now, because you notice this is construction phase, is what we're asking for. We're using internal park dollars to do a design and permitting for the replacement. It'll be the same footprint. We've got the as-built, so it should be fairly easy design and permitting for that. So we feel confident we'll have that done and the permits in place to remain eligible for the construction funds from FIND. So, but the dollar figure, which has contingency padding for another year out, we wanted to see if y'all would support that as being a fine project, because we can't fund that reconstruction internally. So, and it would be faster to do it this way than wait for another budget season and try to get it in the CIP. So this is our recommendation. So that adds up to 1.2 million and change. So the fine portion of that was 575,000. So right there between those first two projects, we're already north of that 2.1 million kind of ballpark cap number that I'm anticipating for the year. But we'd like to go ahead, like I mentioned, and add a smaller cost design project in there just to keep another project in the queue. So we looked at all those all the projects in that alternative list that we thought were feasible and eligible to consider for this year. So we decided as a staff to recommend for y'all's consideration the improvements at Wayne B. Stevens Boat Ramp. So if you go back to your packet and flip to the next page, the aerial of the park and some photographs of the particular ramp that we're talking about. Wayne B. Stevens is unique in that, if you're looking at the map there, you come in off Ortega Farms Boulevard, and then you make a right-hand turn into the park to get into the yellow boundary area. The boat ramps, you see there's three different access piers that are associated with this park. There's two within the park boundary, and then one just outside at the end of the right-of-way of Ortega Farms Boulevard. Well, the ramps that are inside the boundary have recently we've given a lot of attention to. We replaced the floating docks and the gangways and re-engineered the access piers, because they used to slant down. They were concrete, and they slanted down and then hit the downslope of the ramp, so it created this V shape. And with the higher tides we've been experiencing more often, that's constantly underwater. Not an ideal situation for people trying to get into the boats, not getting their feet all wet. So those were, now it's a flat approach that comes up to the top of the ramp. So that work has been done, and that's made it a lot easier and functional for boaters to use. And that those ramps are still in good condition. And we're just wrapping up, probably the next month, a lighting project. So we trimmed up all the trees and put lights throughout the parking lot to make it truly a 24-hour ramp, because that was always been the intention. And we've done some improvements to the restroom there as well. So when all that's said and done, that those everything within the yellow boundary is in pretty good shape. So this project is actually giving attention to the boat ramp that's at the end of the right-of-way there, just outside of the yellow park boundary, but it's at the right-of-way, so it's still city property. That boat ramp is currently signed as hand launch only. If you've gone out there, and there's some of these images, may not do it justice because the tide was a little higher, but the ramp is beaten up pretty bad. It's not advisable for anyone with a trailer to try to launch from there. The access pier is the same design as what was in the park that we recently fixed, so we want to elevate that and bring it back further. This one was a little more troublesome because it's got a light post on it, which was not the case inside the park. So we just have to take that into consideration when we re-engineer that. The floating dock and the piles are actually still good because those were replaced just a couple years ago, and the gangway too. But so the access pier and the boat ramp need to be redone. Water work with the ramp, that would require some permits. We couldn't just do those with maintenance dollars. So that would be upon completion of that, then this ramp would be usable again by trailable boats, and still while still being available to kayakers as well. So again, that was our recommendation to kind of put a bow on this site. It addressed the final needs at this location because it's one of our popular boat ramps on the west side for sure. But again, that was just what staff had recommended, but there were certainly other projects that we considered, and we were certainly open to discuss those and see if you have a preference to push that ahead of the Wayne B. Stevens project if y'all request. So what I have on the following sheets in your packet are just aerial photographs of the different alternative project sites, and I can give you a little bit of background on each of those just briefly. So Thomas Creek Fish Camp, so that's an active fine design project to add an adaptive kayak launch there. The project, so it's already a design project, so we'd be looking for construction funds. I'm sorry, I misnoted there. I put design on the sheet. It should be construction. So one, construction costs, I don't know the cost just yet. We're just now getting into permitting. While I expect to have the permits by the time that the fine would require it for eligibility purposes, the cost would be a little bit more than certainly more than the Wayne B. Stevens project. And there's not as big of a rush to get this one done with, to push it for this coming year. I think we've got time to make sure we get all our ducks in a row. This site, when we got into design, was a little more challenging than anticipated. We thought we could just attach it to an existing dock, the dock that's off to the far left of the ramp. Because of depths and the channel, and not wanting to block the channel, but also having sufficient depths, it made it a little challenging for this site. So, not exactly sure what hurdles might be in store when we get into the permit answering their questions. So, I prefer to leave a little buffer and go after that one in the following year. So, you'll see if you refer back to the yellow and orange spreadsheet, I've got that projected on the 2025 list. The next project is called Sidon Park. This is a piece of land that was donated to the parks, to the city, to become a park about a year ago. It's 2.68 acres, and it's right off Hector Drive, just east of 295. If you know where the gate station is, it's just past there. There's a pocket of uplands there right along the south side of the right-of-way. The property is bordered by Tidal Creek on the south side, and it appears like there's a high spot of land that touches the property at the southeast corner of the parcel. It's a raw piece of land. I think it's could be have potential as a passive park for kayak launch, maybe a little scenic overlook, maybe even a little place to throw a fishing line in and have a picnic shelter, maybe like just a small little loop nature trail. But certainly is something that we want to do. Again, there's no clock ticking on this one, but it's something that we would like to open up for public access as soon as we're able to. So I've got that as a new design project. And just because of driveways and working with DOT and infrastructure, you know, that always kind of becomes more expensive than we anticipate. So we put a $440,000 value on going through all the design work for that. The next project we did talk about last year, Trout River, the fishing bridge, the old Main Street Bridge. Years ago, we renovated the South Pier, but we didn't have the funding for the North Pier. And this would renovate that structure to be similar to what we've done at the South End. But the one word of caution is the reason we didn't move forward with the North Pier previously is because there were there are structural issues that have only, I'm sure, worsened in the past 8 years since we did the South Pier. So that's something, it's, you know, we put in here extra money to do structural analysis, make sure it's worth actually, you know, moving forward with the project, or what would it take to make it a safe structure moving forward to. It is open to the public, but it is kind of, it's pretty rough. this project would formalize it and improve its access and functionality for fishermen. And you can, there's kind of a, within the right-of-way, there's informal parking up there, so we would formalize that parking as well. So that would require some coordination with FDOT again on this particular project. So, again, still, I think, a worthwhile project to consider, but the cost on that is similar to Sidon Park, where it's, you know, there's, it's going to be more than, I think, you know, I think we're pushing the envelope too far with our ask if we ask for that one. Next project is New Berlin Boat Ramp. This is off the Dames Point area. This is a little-known neighborhood boat ramp. There is, other than the little street end of Frederick Street and, you know, just the right-of-way, that's all we have. There's a beaten-up old boat ramp that's, again, used by small boats that are in the neighborhood, but that's about the only people that use it. And there's no dedicated parking, so people park up and down the street off of either Frederick or Apollo Avenue. Unfortunately, we just don't own any other property there. It'd be great eventually to be able to purchase something adjacent to it, but no one's interested in selling. But this project would be at least to improve the ramp surface, replace that with, you know, one that's more functional for those that do use it, and investigate any other opportunities there would be to make further improvements.
So that parcel directly to the north is not a possible purchase?
It's one that we would be interested in, but I do recall we've had conversations with them in the past, and it's not only a no, we don't want to sell the city, but it's like, stay away from us and don't allow the public to park on our property.
So. Oh, boy.
It's an extremely embedded community.
Yeah, that's the one that has, like, the little, it's almost like a little fish camp. They've got, like, a screened-in shelter, like, on the property. And they maybe they live next door in a house. I'm not sure. But, yeah, we're kind of limited on what we can do. But we're always looking for opportunities. If this for sale sign comes up, you know, we can, you know, see if we can partner on an acquisition on that.
Send Mr. Nooney after him.
Yeah. Let's see. Next on the list is Curtis Lee Johnson Boat Ramp. So this is off of San Juan. See, that is, was that Cedar Creek?
Mm-hmm. Cedar Creek. River. Mm-hmm. Cedar River.
Yeah. Cedar River. So we got a boat ramp there. When we did our maritime management plan a few years ago, there were recommendations that came out of that study looking at the facilities. And, they identified some issues with the bulkhead and the dock, not critical things that are, you know, need to happen right away, but just more of a keep your eye on this sort of thing, because eventually they'll need to be addressed. So, again, they're on our list because we acknowledge that, but it's not we're not at a critical point, or really it's not really a priority for us at the moment, because it's got more life in it. Similarly, TK Stokes is the next one, another boat ramp. This is off the Rebalt River. And again, bulkhead and dock replacement. Again, not critical. Get very little traffic up at this boat ramp also. But something we eventually want to address, but it's really not a need at in the next year or two. But we'll continue to monitor it. Same thing with the next one, Harborview Boat Ramp, bulkhead and ramp improvements. Again, just keeping our eye on those to see when we get to a more critical point to move forward with improvements there. But another boat ramp that's not heavily used, and it's got more life in it, but certainly eventually we'll need to do some improvements. The next one's interesting. This is off of the Arlington River. This was identified about a year or so ago. We were asked by real estate to look at all the city-owned parcels that had been allocated to the Parks Department to see if we had a surplus needs for any of these. And when I came across this one, I was like, hey, waterfront land, ding, 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 right? Opportunities. So this is right off the north end of the University Boulevard Bridge across the Arlington River and at the intersection with Clifton Avenue. So it's a very residential area. So there could potentially be some, you know, pushback from the neighbors, adjacent neighbors, I would think. But again, it's public land. It's right up against the bridge. That's a bonus. So you only have a neighbor. You don't have a neighbor on that side. But my thoughts there, it's only half an acre, but a small parking lot with, you know, shoreline access to put in a kayak would be a nice little addition there. So we've got that as a design project. And then the last one.
Launch.
Yeah, I think a kayak launch.
A couple of cars in there to park at the most
probably. So like a kayak launch maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, kayak launch, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, not a boat launch. A kayak launch, and maybe, you know, potentially even have a little overlook or, you know, a little fishing platform potentially. The bridge, are you allowed to fish off that bridge? I'm not sure.
No.
I don't think so
it's
either.
Too narrow.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, maybe there's something there to, since they can't fish off the bridge, maybe if there's something there, it could be an interest.
Isn't that one of our bridges with the signs on?
Yep.
Yeah. New sign ordinance.
Yeah.
So that fit right in with the new signs.
Right.
Yeah. And then the last one is a unique piece of property, again, that has been in our inventory for years, but it's got its challenges. This is, we call it the Baker Track. You access it off of Fort Caroline Road, then there's this unpaved road called Baker Track Lane that comes back to this very linear piece of property that flares out at the water's edge. That's Mill Cove area. This is just a little bit east of the Dames Point Bridge, 295.
How do you access that?
There's a dirt road comes off of Fort Caroline that you can get down.
Oh, Baker Track Lane.
It's a very limited. It's very narrow, and then, like you said, you can see where it spreads out, and then the neighbors on each side of it have encroached onto it.
Sure.
As years, because they didn't think that it would ever have anything done to it.
Sure.
So it looks like a piece of property that ought to be sold to someone for a profit.
It's not big enough to.
You couldn't put some eight condo units there?
You couldn't even put probably one condo on it.
Yeah.
It's very narrow.
Yeah, it's very narrow. You know, there is that, you know, it is a public corridor. Like Jim said, it's just a dirt road that goes back there on Baker Track Lane. And then once it hits that diagonal to the northeast, again, that all you'll be able to do is improve a road until it flares out. And then right where it flares out, you see there's a little structure. That's a shed. and they've been very difficult to work with. I know we've tried to enforce issues, but it just the encroachment issue, and I, for whatever reason, politically, it just hasn't moved forward because we haven't had solid plans to move forward with anything. But
where it opens up, how big is that? Is that like the university half acre, or
well, the entire parcel is shown as 1.7 acres, so just the flared out area would probably
quarter acre.
Probably just probably about a
maybe a half.
Maybe around a half or so.
Just a single family lot.
And as you get down to the river, it looks like there's some wetlands.
Abandon it. Spend our money elsewhere.
Yeah,
or a kayak launch.
And then is that a swale lowlands to the west?
So to the west actually was for sale a couple years ago, and I tried to advocate for our acquisition because then it would be a functional piece of land.
Yeah.
But a developer swooped in and got it before we could. To be honest, I don't know where it stands today. They may have.
How are they going to get access?
I guess they're going to improve Baker Track Lane. That's their legal access too, Baker Track Lane. So they may be doing some improvements there.
Boy.
It'll be interesting to watch what they do there.
Because they're not going to have enough width for a public road, Baker Track Lane's way too narrow. You look at Shawnee Shores Drive, that's probably a standard road width. Good luck putting something in there.
So again, this has been on our list for years, but it's going to be a challenge. I don't think we're, if we recommended it to move forward,
thank you.
It's going to be a challenge for us to actually make it happen.
It's a lot of effort for a minimal payout at this point.
Yeah. Well, not that much money left. I'd spend it elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's how we came up with our list and the projects we looked at. And again, going back to the sheet with our recommendations, the bottom portion are projects that have come up in discussion in various forums and Waterways Commission and emails and comments, and but I'm happy to, if you need explanation on any of these, I'll be happy to give a little bit extra. I did mention the Collins Road kayak launch from the Ortega is something that is got legs to it, working with JTA on actually developing a concept, so hopefully that we find that it's feasible and that will move forward and they'll pay for it, and then we'll have a new public launch and without any extra city dollars. That one, that's why I don't recommend doing anything with the grant, because that's already
Brian, just to clear it off,
yep.
The Yacht Basin dredge and docking, that's not connected with the dredging that we've already funded, right? Or is it?
The dredging for?
Got five, I think, was it five or six dredging spots around downtown? That was all downtown.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah.
But right. On the not advisable, this Yacht Basin dredge and docking, where is that?
So that's over in the Avondale area.
That Yacht Basin.
Yeah, okay. That's that historic Yacht Basin. It's all silted in now. It's connected with Willow Branch Creek.
Yeah.
And Public Works told us do not dredge that basin because it'll affect they've been doing a restoration project on Willow Branch Creek, and that will somehow affect their project.
And then Goat Island Park development.
Goat Island is the island north of Ready Point, where the river takes its bend, and it's not our property. It's I believe that is state owned. So
I think it's federal.
Well, so I just got a call from Ramesh.
This is Spoil Island.
I just got a call from Ramesh Buck. He's the acquisitions guy at NFLT. I'm on the NFLT.
Yep.
Chairman of the Land Committee over there, and he was asking me about the Spoils Islands and the possibility of working with us here on a salt marsh program that they are finally jumping into. And I told him that see if we could start maybe getting some connectivity on that, because if that's is Goat Island still active as a spoils?
No, I think
so.
Done.
Well, it's not active. I don't know how it's done.
Well, you know, because
they decided they wanted to go higher. They probably could, but it hadn't been dumped on for, gosh, 20 years or more. I mean, longer.
Yeah,
they used to have actual goats on it. That's
I remember that.
Yeah,
but there might be some connectivity there between money that they can raise and money that we can raise here to get something within their salt marsh and resiliency program that's firing up.
What would that do? What would they want to do? What is a salt marsh project?
You know, when you're running across the intercoastal at
on Atlantic, and you go, you know, pretty
high up, and you're dropping back down, and then all that marsh that's on the side, the eastern side there, FLT just bought a bunch of that just to put it into conservation, thinking that if you've got a resiliency issue, then what you want to do is you want to have nothing going on in those areas,
because as water
rises, you're going to need
right. The
buffer.
And they're kind of looking at the spoils islands too, and going, is there something that we can do with those if they're not being used anymore? Is there something we can do from a resiliency perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Also, as if you do eyes, the way they're explaining it to me, and I'm hardly the expert, but the way they're explaining it to me is that as you get water level rise, what's going to happen is the existing salt marsh is going to be underwater, and that'll kind of get wiped out. But the new salt marsh is going to grow a little bit further up as the water level.
Hopefully it doesn't come
that far up, but anyway, if it does. So they're sort of
looking forward,
just putting it into perpetual conservation.
Sure. Yeah, and I think we'd be an interested partner, but you know, it's already publicly owned. It's a state ownership, so there would be no need to ask for grant dollars to acquire it. Because
but
if it was acquired, and you know, we wanted to do a kind of a combination of some public access plus some restoration, I think that would be a cool partnership. But it would require the state, North Florida Land Trust, and the city to kind of just cooperatively come up with a game plan and the funding mechanisms.
Well, do you mind if I put
Ramesh in touch with you, and you guys kind of brainstorm and then figure out which higher-ups need to be attacked? Because
sure. Yep. That
kind of stuff would be pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah. I know they've already kind of come up with plans on the whole ICW for the spoil islands that they own in that area. But if they're looking outside of, you know, other areas, I'd be curious to see if the state identified a need for them to, you know, keep it, or maybe they want to maintain ownership, but they just want to partner, and the city doesn't even to be a party to it, you know. So
let's find out exactly what they want
to
do.
They want to build salt marsh. In other words,
encourage it,
so
build
it. It wouldn't be anything that would be public access. It would become you're moving the material and making more.
NFLT doesn't necessarily prohibit public access.
I'm just trying to figure out the concept.
Well, and I think that where we are is in kind of a development stage, because a lot of the things that you hear about, like for instance from Quint White, was, okay, you dredged out the river, you idiots, and what's that done is that's kind of cut off the lungs of the river and cleaning it and all that. And I think that there are a lot of people now are looking for opportunities to say, okay, are there some areas that we can
add
help
marsh and allow
add marsh, increase filtration, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that that's kind of the overarching goal. But the operational guys, if we put the operational guys together, which is Brian and Ramesh, those guys usually then say, okay, I think I know what's possible. Now let's get to the right guys. Boom, then you can get the politics going. So approach, but I'll do that.
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on what the goals are. You know, I know like some of the islands in the ICW, it was more for habitat improvement, restoring, you know. But this one, maybe the goal might be recreation with the added benefit of, you know, salt marsh enhancement. So, yeah.
All right.
So it's all dependent on how you design it.
Piece it out.
So it's not necessarily functionally how we usually do things, but Mr. Nooney, you're dying to say something, so.
Well, thank you for recognizing.
Sure.
I just wanted to backtrack, but, you know, Brian, getting back to the public
it's public land, and yeah, you can you can explore it. That's not a problem. What I don't know is, you know, parking. If you park within the right of way, you're fine. But if you went through the property where disturbing any vegetation, that's would be a different issue. But yeah,
it's public land. As long as the public land touches
a public right of way, then just be where there's a neighbor involved, I would just, you know,
leave them alone.
Request, yeah, that you be respectful of your buffer between yourself and them.
Sure. All right, so why don't we do this? Open it up for discussion. We kind of haven't done that yet, but I would say, do we all feel properly informed to go ahead and open it for discussion on? And look, I'm pretty loose. If you want to talk about the recommended and potentials at the same time, that's fine with me. If you want to go through the recommended and then deal with potential, that's fine with me. I don't have a preference one way or the other.
I had sort of had a question that's not even on here, but it used to be. Exchange Island, is that done? Is that a finished project?
So Exchange Island is the phase two improvements are wrapping up right now. So expanded the trail system to the west side of the island, added a new picnic shelter over there.
Bow shed right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's on here.
Yeah, so
it's
so
just 2-point font, Brian. We're not new anymore. You know,
I didn't read my reading.
Yeah. So that phase is wrapping up. It should be done in the next month. And that wraps up actually two primitive campsites as well. What we had to cut out of the project, unfortunately, was a restroom. At the end of the day, the only option was to you can't do a septic system. There's no sewer out there, obviously, so it had to be a holding tank that would then need to be emptied on whatever frequency. There is no service provider that does, you know, on the water pump out in Duval County. So that would have been our, you know, the easy option. So we're like, okay, well, can the city acquire a pump out vessel? There's programs to grants where you can get a pump out vessel. But the state agency said because the restroom would be on uplands, even though it's an island only accessible by water, it would not be eligible. So
what?
Yeah, crazy.
We also buying a boat for a single purpose. If there were
20, but it opens capacity.
If there were 20 of them,
then there'd be an excuse to buy a boat. But I think they're looking at it's called.
Or if we had a mooring field.
So it's not a party boat; it's a potty boat. Is that how this is going to work out?
You can't put a septic in.
No, the whole island will go under at times. And actually, the reason the current project was kind of stalled this past month is because those king tides, where the new shelter on the west side of the island overlooking downtown Talleyrand, water is lapping underneath it. It is an elevated structure, but they couldn't get the decking in because of the whole, they had their pile foundations in place. There's a roof on it. You can actually see it from the bridge when you're going over. Look towards that southwest corner when you go over the Matthews Bridge. But, so they've got to finish the decking, and for the trail system, there's a couple of crossings, a short little section of the boardwalk that they had to create. So,
there's no chemical.
No, we've looked at everything. We, you know, composting in an ideal situation would work if you had the proper volume and frequency of use. But if you don't get that ideal, optimal use of the restroom, it doesn't work, and then you got to pump it out anyway.
So realistically, there's just enough use to be irritating, but not nearly enough use to be damaging.
Wow. Yeah, so the new campsites, where there'll be signage installed where it requires, you know, pack it in, pack it out, just because there's lack of other opportunities there. But so we actually do have some, so that project will be wrapping up, and we do have some CIP dollars also that are available for that island.
Phase, we can see what other, you know, things need attention. But this effectively will, minus the restroom, will finish out the master plan that was developed about 10 years ago with public input. So
I
I guess actually backfilling something enough to put in a septic drain field would create its own permitting problems because it's effectively wetlands, I guess, yeah. Even though it's all man-made.
Yeah, the whole island's
I know the island
spoil.
Doesn't show up in the 1845 surveys of that area, right. and it does show up in the 1940s imagery, but it's obviously been added to since then.
Yeah, it was originally called Mud Island when they dredged to downtown for the Talleyrand area, and they just piled it all there, and then it was this mud flat, and then it just succeeded naturally.
Yeah.
Seeds came in and vegetated. It's got some interesting history to it, and that's something I'd like to do is develop some interpretive science talking about the history and the uniqueness of the island and add that. One good thing, since we put these more formalized facilities with the picnic shelters and the dock, we've had less issues with the unauthorized camping and bonfires and homeless encampments. So the legitimate use has been pushing out the illegitimate use. That's been good. So it's become a safer and more publicly accessible Yeah, I've been out there.
JSO and FWC have done a remarkable job of going out there and doing enforcement,
mm-hmm.
and that's helped a whole bunch. Yeah.
And we have regular volunteers that go out there because it's a trash collector, the shoreline, everything that goes through downtown, it kind of hits that spot and gets stuck. So we get regular cleanup. So we've got a good stewardship of volunteers. So.
How do you reserve the camp spots?
They'll be reservable through our permitting website. We've got an online system. So there will be no fee for using it, but we do request that you're registered so we know you're out there. And in case there's a conflict, we can say, well, you're the one that's authorized to be here. You're not,
And it's open now?
No, not yet.
You expect it to open?
The campsites? I'm expecting in another month. Again, we got to wait for the contractors to finish up. The campsites are going to be primitive. There's already a couple cleared spaces that we identified. They'll just kind of identify the footprint of where you should set up. There'll be a picnic table and a fire ring.
A flood water? I mean, do I need to worry about high tide?
As long as there's not a not high tide, you won't worry about that. But if there's a storm.
Extreme high tide.
Yeah.
How many sites, Brian?
Just two. We didn't want to put too many out there because you don't want
to interfere. How do you get to
interfere
them?
With
yeah.
your neighbors? And, how do you get to it?
Well, by boat. But I mean, it's just if you've got 20 people out on the island and something happens, how do you get them off there?
Right. Yeah.
You kind of open a whole other can of worms aside from the sewage issue.
And if you've been out there before, there's kind of a little cove that you can boat or paddle into, and the picnic shelter dock is on one side, and the campsites are on the other side, so you get a little bit of separation of use there, and there's a place to pull your kayaks out and to get access to.
And a beautiful floating dock for bigger boats.
Nice.
Really nice one.
All right. Riverkeeper takes field trips there, and JU, I know they had envisions of using it as like an outdoor classroom kind of option when they take their students out on the water. We're excited about it. But, we're putting the final touches on the current phase and see how successful it is.
Well, let's bring it back around to our purpose intended. Is there any discussion on the recommendations, any questions, comments?
Well, I had a comment, if we can go back. I'm disappointed that the Mandarin dock or Mandarin improvement wasn't at least in the second group instead of the third.
Right.
Okay, for the number of people that live in the southeast part of the county, there's nothing for them, and there's only really three boat launches that I know of. And I think we should service that population. And if I look at the map, everything is up towards the north. I just think we have to be cognizant of that.
Sure.
Though I think you've made logical reasons Okay, I just want to put that on the record and say that. Okay.
Yeah. No, thank you for bringing that up, because that was one of the projects last year that was in that middle tier, and I believe it was kind of like our a backup project. And following last year's cycle, I'm like, wow, y'all really like that project, and for good reason. There's a need and a demand in that area. So I'm like, I need to do my homework on that project, make sure that it's actually feasible, because that came from a recommendation from the Maritime Management Plan. So I got with the engineers that had worked on the previous phases of development that had a lot of the data, and they said, Brian, if you do, physically you can, but you're going to have significant wetland impacts, and there's seagrass bed right next just to the side of that ramp, and that's going to be major mitigation. Gave me a big pause. That's why I pushed it down. Anything could be mitigated if you want to.
Well, right now, if you've got anywhere where seagrass is actually growing, that's kind of a goal.
I know, right? Yeah.
Manatees are starving at this point.
I was too.
You know, also at Hood Landing Boat Ramp, we've done work on the docks, on the ramp. The problem out there now that we're trying to get a cooperative effort between Public Works is to raise the elevation of the road itself, because every time you get high tide, not just a flood tide, a high tide, it goes underwater.
I've seen that.
Is that the one by Clark's?
Yeah.
And there's no parking.
Well, there is plenty of parking along the side of the road, and that's one of the things that we want to. Hey, it's parking.
It's parking.
But
I guess it checks
maybe
the box.
We need to strike this project.
But
find
access.
Another.
Yeah, right.
Did you find the property? Clark's went away.
We investigated it.
It was gone before we could get
Clark's?
Into the
weeds. Yeah.
Oh, I got offered Clark's, and the
what you
had it done.
Yeah.
I mean,
to make Clark's
like
fit,
the owners had no idea where their septic system was or how it worked. And it's been a restaurant for how long?
Yeah.
I live right there around the corner from it, too. And the guy that's going to improve it, if they come to fruition, will have a challenge on his hand at best. But with us, it would have been a good facility to make a you couldn't put asphalt parking lot, because there's not enough drainage options.
Right.
Maybe a little bit, but if even just a unimproved parking
gravel.
Dirt gravel type would have been better and utilized purposely, but
we'll see how far the guy gets with improving it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
Got some severe challenges to overcome to turn it into what it was.
Spend some money.
And that project that Jim was talking about for the road, there is a CIP project. I think it's still maybe a couple years out, but it's
inching its way. A study and a design for what can be done to alleviate the flooding along the roadway. Anyway, but that might
put even more water on the neighbor. I don't know.
Got a couple of questions back to the Mandarin one.
Yeah.
The Mandarin Road expansion, would that be more ramps, more parking?
The intention was to widen the ramp so we had an extra lane for launching, as well as expand parking to the extent possible.
Technically, there's two lanes there now. But the way boaters are, they like to utilize all the space they can, and I don't blame them. And so if someone knows that there's two lanes and they are yielding to each other is one thing, but the average person, they just back right down the middle of it. And if we had enough to where even another 8 feet, it would be obvious
that
two
it's
lanes.
Two lanes.
Yeah. And if we could able go a little bit farther, we could actually make it a three-lane facility, which would be useful there.
And it's been a long time since I've used that ramp, but is there a line, like on a nice summer weekend, is there a line for waiting?
It's busy.
Oh, it's busy.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Busy is one thing, but a line waiting to back up is another thing.
There's always a line on weekends, and especially...
The parking lot would fill up after the day.
That
I know about.
Yeah.
just about maybe 2 years ago, we finished a project to extend. We doubled the length of the floating dock for boating to aid your launching and landing. So I think that has helped with the efficiency. So you can stack more boats as people are parking. And, you know,
it's like Boater Skip Day. That is the closest Duval County spot to that. And there's actually three of those now that happen. And every one of those is solid.
Yeah. That's for like Blue Angels and...
Blue Angels would be the same thing.
Yeah. And part of that same project, we also created an adaptive kayak launch on the other side of that pier that goes out to, again, take away some additional pressure and congestion with someone trying to launch a kayak while there's boats trying to heavily go in and out. So that's helped and created a more accessible and better experience for the paddlers too. So we've tried to address some of that to the extent we could, but like I pointed out, though, if we do expand either the ramp or the parking, we're going to have environmental
consequences.
So I don't know if y'all. I mean, I heard your suggestion. I left it on the I moved it down so at least we could talk about it and I could explain why, because it was talked about at length the last time as a good project. So, but if y'all are supportive, I'll just strike it from the list moving forward for next year. We don't have to rehash it.
From what you're saying, it'd be irresponsible.
Unless the seagrass went away by itself. And I don't know how that works.
That's possible.
Yeah,
it's possible. Done it before.
But we don't want to encourage it.
Sure, right.
No, we used to have seagrass in the Ortega. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I do have a question. George Grady Fishing Pier between Duval and Nassau County on the Nassau River.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
Conversations about that, and I know that one's going to be a beast. Is that totally outside of what FIND could handle because of the scale and size?
Well, it's outside of what we could apply for because it's a state park.
Got it.
So the states have their own program under FIND. It's called the CAP program, Cooperative Assistance Program. So the federal agencies, I think the state and the federal can apply for dollars for improvements on similar types of projects on their properties. But I just to let you know, I talked with the park manager. They're working on their management plan updates for all the state parks in the area, and I brought it up. I'm like, hey, it comes up at waterways, occasionally. What's the latest? And she's like, oh, it's not a when are we going to fix it. It's like, when are we going to take it down? Because it's not rehabable. I mean, there's a reason FDOT walked away from that bridge. It had the clock was ticking on its life. They got a good number of years out of it as a fishing structure, but. There's no salvaging.
It's a mess.
There's no salvaging that. They said the answer could be, though, if removal and replace with a more typical, fishing structure.
Pier.
Yeah. So they're just waiting on, decisions and funding at the state level at this point.
Okay.
But the city has no dog in that fight.
Okay. So the city will not be involved in that just because it's not city property.
Yeah, it touches there. It's attached to the state park on either side of the river there.
Right.
It's their property, their uplands, and it's their bridge. So we can advocate for it. But
it's also in catastrophic shape.
It is. And I've seen it, and I get it. Like, it is in catastrophic shape. Yeah.
I'm curious to see how, if they end up demoing the south end, how much more life is in the north end of it.
Not much more. The same age. It's the north end is shockingly bad, too.
Yeah. So I remember when Sisters Creek Bridge was replaced, and we came, we talked to FDOT about maybe leaving the portion that was the half that was attached to this Jim King Park, and FDOT looked at us like, you do not want this. You're going to be inheriting the nightmare that's going to be all on you for maintenance and the eventual inevitable demolition. Just let us take it down, and if you want to build something there, we'll give you an easement to put a structure there.
Okay.
And we had talked about doing a bubble out, kind of like under there instead, where you could still walk out there and like a platform or a...
Like fish and shrimp.
Have a fishing platform or throw a net. But I don't know what happened to that concept. But we tried to build a kayak access point there, but... It's
so steep. I don't know if you've ever been under there. It's a very steep embankment. It's just for ADA challenges alone for a kayak launch would be prohibitive. And we've got, you know, kayak launch at Jim King. Anyway.
And Jim King's good.
If we did a fishing pier structure, I mean, that thing would probably be 100 feet above the
okay.
above the river as it goes out. And then you have extremely long
and then you have piles. And you have the bridge piers and, you know,
fender
that's
system.
Not far out.
Yeah.
So it became what if this and what if that. So
yeah.
It's slowly but surely just been on the what if not do it.
Okay.
There is if you drive under there, there is a little parking area that they create, an asphalt parking area that you can, you know, park. And then people do stop there and then they
fish on the bank.
They walk up to the bank and they fish from. So that, yeah. It's serving a public
purpose.
Use there. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, I don't disagree. The only sticky point I see is if we get some really hard pushback from the neighbor to have a public parking lot, you know, even though it's small, you know, next to their house. But I would like to do some investigation in the coming year, and then we'll see if that grows some legs as far as, you know, an idea that, you know.
Put a sign there. We'll get an answer real quick.
Yeah.
we'll just
send
the
Mr. Nooney will let us know if he gets run off, right?
If McHugh wasn't going to suck down so much air in 1 year,
yeah.
It'd be nice to be able to get some of the, you know, four or five of these things kind of started.
Sure.
And that's the one thing I do notice, that this time we've got less actually kicking off than we ordinarily do. But McHugh is definitely... I remember the pictures of that thing last year, and it was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing, yeah, it's beyond needing to be done.
Yeah.
Because it's dangerous at point in time. And the good thing about it is with the additional development next door and the way it's going to be redesigned and everything, when it's all said and done, it's going to be a place to go to. It's
very high impact for the public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would hate for us not to do something and then have that around it be developed into something that looks like we're still way back in
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Jacksonburg, right. Yeah. We don't want that anymore.
And just to point out, we do have a couple of other design projects from the 2022 year that will be graduating in the coming years. So
right.
I've even projected out the next 2 years some of the projects that need to move forward, like the Pottsburg Creek boat ramp improvements, the Thomas Creek adaptive kayak launch. Those are two construction projects that I would think would be ready for consideration next year this time.
Right.
And then we could slide in another new design project. Maybe I put in Side and Park just because I think that was a pretty good project too. That's just, you know, just a placeholder. And then the year after that, the two new design projects we got this year at Sisters Creek, the transient facilities and the dredging downtown. So we've got things, you know, it's rolling, but each year, as long as we have at least one new design, that'll, I think, set us up for success.
Always liked your forward thinking sequencing of these things, because it just seems like you've got really good command of what can fall into the other.
Yeah.
Just happened to have that one project that's been sucking a lot of oxygen out of the room for the last couple of years, but it's a big project.
And every now and then you'll get one of those.
So.
Well, to that point, Liberty Street Marina is, you know, that was a design project from last year, but that has CIP money because that's going to be a $10 million project.
Fine.
So that's going to exceed whatever fine could do. That would be a drop in the bucket for what we could do. So hopefully the CIP dollars will be sufficient when we get our cost estimates, but you know, there are other grant programs like the Big P grant, which is specific for transient boating facilities. It's very competitive. Find is, you know, we're pretty fortunate. We're not like the other counties where we're competing with other municipalities. Sometimes the beaches do put in a small dollar figure project, but usually, you know, we always you know, play fair and nice with them. So, but there's other counties up and down the state, and it can be quite competitive for even fine dollars, but we've been pretty fortunate. We know what our limits are, and we try to play within our sandbox, and we keep getting what we ask for the most part. Yeah, so.
Well, is there any other discussion on anything in particular?
No.
Have a comment before we take up the vote?
Yeah. Yeah, well, my name is John Nooney, and yeah, as far as, you know, the fine projects and, you know, in the process, you know, in the past, you know, these meetings used to be packed, you know, with district representation, you know, and then with the CPACs. Now, I went to the CPAC meeting last night, and like I said, I can go back, you know, a whole bunch. But what I wanted to just really kind of share with you, you know, the wife and I, you know, our place, you know, we're selling. It's over 2 acres, you know, half of it, it's Category 1 wetlands, and we're next to a FEMA house that should have already been demolished, reverted back to nature. So I've been working on this sort of for a while. But the North Florida Land Trust, they did a site inspection, recognized the recreational value. You know, I also participated in 4 of these infrastructure subcommittee meetings recently. You know, resiliency, parks and neighborhood, you know, downtown, riverfront, you know, and again, neighborhoods. And Sandra Fetner with the Jesse Ball DuPont Foundation, 90% of all the waterways in Duval County, 90% is private. Only 10% is public. Now, you know, and it's that's just not good. So, you know, as far as with this right now, you know, and let me just tell you the ordinance numbers, 2021-0075, you know, that was the fine grants, you know, and then last year, 2022-0035. And where I'm going with this was in 2016-18 was the find, you know, that got us the kayak launch on the South Bank. You know, then it got transferred to the CIP. So now downtown, it has their own zone, if you will, now. And even last night, like at the city council meeting, you know, there's some ordinances, you know, with the downtown boundaries and things like that. So, you know, where I'm going in a long about way, you know, whatever you do, you know, I'm just going to support it. But I just want to really bring to your attention that the scenario that exists with our house, and you want to talk about park, you get 50 cars there. I'm telling you, it is the lowest hanging fruit you could possibly think of. So just going forward, and you know, it's not ready, you know, to tee up for prime time just this second, but the feedback that I'm getting. And when you talk about funding, I tell people this all the time. There's over 2,500 billionaires in the world, and I'm reaching out to them. And it's fun. It's working. And I got a new shirt. You know, I call it a Superman
shirt. All right, Mr. Nooney.
Bill Delaney. So, you know, they're with the administration now. And, you know, so there's millions of dollars with this. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. And, you know, these are, you know, some big projects that you have going. So whatever you decide, I'm in support. But just the more public access, the better.
Thank you, Mr. Nooney. I appreciate you. That said, comment wrapped up. So do we have a motion to move forward the staff recommendations?
I move that we accept the staff recommendations.
Second? Second. All right. That said, take it to a vote. All in favor? Opposed? Recommendations pass. Brian, to wrap it up, what I'd like to say is one of the nice things about this is that it is the best organized staff presentation to somebody like me to be able to look at it and see how well thought out it is and
how well you guys know what you're looking at,
so that we're not having to cull through and sort of stumble around in the dark. It's been a pretty amazing couple of years that I've been involved in it, and appreciate you and I appreciate your staff for everything that they do to make this as straightforward as it is. And maybe we don't have too many people showing up because it's done so well that everybody just banks on it and that's the end of it. But with that said, any other comment? All right.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.